Welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Hey, yes, welcome back once again to Tips from the Server Room. This is episode number 20 for October 29th, 2013. I'd like to welcome you to the greatest city in the world. Well, one of the greatest cities. Your city may also be just as great, but the city here is Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. If you're in the region or close by Pittsburgh and you want to meet up sometime, simply drop me an email at jackstechcorner@gmail.com and say, "Hey, Jack, I live in the area. Why don't we stop by and have a little bit of talk about servers and switches and networks and whatever else you want to talk about?" Please check out my website at tipsfromtheserverroom.com, where you can comment on these shows. Also, if you have any questions or you'd like to leave me a voicemail, you can do so simply by calling 724-701-0911. And, or either one, you could email me at jackstechcorner@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, and my Twitter handle is at Technoman. Check me out there. And I tweet quite often about servers and switches and all kind of stuff. So you may want to follow me there, and I would appreciate that. In tonight's show, I just wanted to bring you two short stories from the trenches, stuff that we've been working on out in the field lately with a couple clients, and I want to talk to you about that and how we get around some stuff, and maybe it'll help you in your network. The first story we're going to talk about tonight is about a virus removal. One of our clients got a pretty good virus on a computer, and that happens. You know, even though we don't give them administrative privileges when they're working in these small offices and complexes, but when you walk in, sometimes somebody got affected. And what's the first thing you always hear? "I didn't do anything." Well, obviously they did something. They clicked on something or got on a website. They got some kind of virus on a computer. The virus, this particular virus, was one of those fake antiviruses. Now, you've probably seen these, right? You get them on there, they drill themselves somewhere into the registry settings, and you just can't get them out. They're very, very persistent viruses, and they just kind of want to stick around. So we went through our normal steps. The first thing we ran is good old CCleaner. CCleaner ran for, you know, quite a while, as CCleaner does, and to our avail, it found nothing at all. Well, I mean, it found a few things, but didn't remove that. That was stuck. Rebooted the computer, it was still there. So the next tool we pull out of our fancy-dancy tool belt is Malwarebytes. So we take Malwarebytes and we run it. You know yourself, Malwarebytes, if you let it do a deep scan, it's going to take a little bit of time to try to clear that virus off or whatever is on your computer. It ran for probably a good couple hours because there's a lot of files on the computer. It looked at everything and it came back with like five possible things wrong. So we said, okay, let's go ahead and clean that up. Cleaned it, rebooted the computer, boom. There's the virus back once again. The next thing was CombiFix. Now CombiFix, if you run it in safe mode, which you're usually better to do, I actually get it loaded up and then I reboot the computer in safe mode without networking. Because most of these viruses or these Trojans, they want to call back home. That's their job. That's what they want to do. And if you shut the networking down, sometimes they don't even start up. Because there's no way to call home. They know there's no internet connection, and they just don't start. So you run CombiFix. It didn't get the virus. It didn't. We rebooted the computer. It was back once again. So I called my team of experts in. I said, "Look, guys, we need to check this stuff out, and we need to figure out what to do." So we sat and we had a little powwow, and this is what they came up with. "Well, we're just going to re-image the computer. We're going to reinstall Windows, put all the software back, and do all that stuff that we would normally do," which is a good fix. And this is my philosophy. I said, "Guys, look, if I have a knock in my engine of my car, and I take my car to the garage and they say, 'Look, we're going to put a brand new engine in your car,' they will get rid of the knock. But I don't want to do that. I want them to fix the engine that's in there because it's a lot cheaper. And this is the same thing you have to worry about with your network, because the network does the same. The computer is the same thing. We work on what's called man hours. And the more my hours my men work, the more hours I have to pay them money. So you don't want to work on man hours on this particular problem. You have to get to the root of the problem and try to figure it out. But at first I was like, well, okay, if we have to do a reimage, we will do a reimage and then we'll go from there. Well, then it turned out that the next day after sleeping on it, the next day I kind of had one of those brainstorms. You know, just when your brain goes, wow, I know what we can try to see if this is going to fix it. Now, if you have any clients out there, if you do work in companies, or even if you're running your own network, go to each computer and make sure that the Windows System Restore is turned on and activated. By default, with all of our computers on all of our systems for all of our clients, we make sure the System Restore is activated because it will save you a tremendous amount of work, an absolute tremendous amount of work. So we went in and I said, look, let's just do a System Restore. We knew the computer was attacked just a few days earlier because we started working on it a few days earlier. We started scanning and doing our thing. So I said, well, let's go ahead and restore that computer, do a System Restore to the prior Monday. We rebooted the computer. We had to add a couple of the, you know, the hot fixes to it that came through through that week for Windows and for the antivirus client. So we updated all that, made sure the antivirus client was running once again, and the infection is now gone. It's no longer there. Because if you think about it, when you do a System Restore, it never happened. It's like turning back time. How many times have you wanted to do that? Like you're out somewhere, you get into a fender bender of your car, and you're thinking, if I could just turn back time to yesterday, I wouldn't do the same thing I just did, and you wouldn't have a fender bender. Same thing. But we can do that with computers. It's kind of like living in the Matrix. I'm sure everybody listening to this podcast right now probably says, oh, yes, I've watched the Matrix. And, you know, it's either you take the blue pill or the red pill. You make the decision. But this time we took the blue pill, and we didn't have to re-image or reload that whole entire computer, find all the drivers, and do all that stuff once again. So that saved us a tremendous amount of time just by using your System Restore. Now, the next topic of discussion, the next thing I'd like to talk to you about right now, is about a fiber optic run that we had in another client's business. The other client is on multiple floors, and we have fiber running to multiple patch panels. And the way we do our fiber optics is we go from patch panel, we jump it to another patch panel, then we jump it to another patch panel, and so forth and so on, until we get to the end where we are heading. So we started from the client's server room, and in the server room itself, we have our main fiber patch panel. So we came out of our fiber optic switch, and we went into the main patch panel. We went from that patch panel to our first panel, and we plugged the fiber switch in because we were testing the circuit because we thought there was something wrong. We plugged the fiber switch into that first connection and we had a full fiber connection and it was working fine. So the next box, so we jumped that connection to our next box. We went out to that next fiber optics box. Again, we went in the closet. We plugged our switch in. We plugged the fiber optics in first. We plugged the switch in. And wouldn't you know it, the fiber optics came up. And the port was active. We were good to go in that port. Now, we patched that panel, and we took a walk and went to our third closet. In the third closet, we did the same routine. We put our fiber optic patch for our switch into the patch panel, plugged it into our switch, plugged our switch into the wall, and sure enough, we had a full network connection. We're like, fine, now we know we got this fiber optic line up, and we're ready to start putting clients Cat5 or Cat6 connections into it, so we're ready to move on. We made it to that fourth and final box, and in that fourth and final box, we plugged the switch in, the switch booted up, we plugged our fiber in, there was no connection, zero. Now, the only thing we can think of was there could be a bad pair. We had a 6-pair fiber run. So with that 6-pair fiber run, what we did was there, we took that 6-pair fiber run and we just jumped another pair, right? That's what you would do. That was logic. That's how logic works in your head when you're doing networking. The reason you have 6-pair to do a 1-pair run is for consistency and for redundancy. Or if a pair is broken or something happens to it, you know you have 2 more pair you can go to. So we took our 2 fiber connectors and we put them on another pair. We went back to the 3rd patch panel. We moved it to that pair because they have to stay consistent in colors, and you know how that works. Once we did that, we went back to that switch and we still had no fiber connection. So at that point, what I did was I said, well, look, we didn't run the fiber line. We had a company come into the client's business and actually run the fiber optics for us because I don't have termination gear and I don't really have the time to put fiber in and terminate it. So we called the fiber optics experts and they came out. And you would not believe when they finally called me and said, look, we have this all figured out and we have it working just fine, what they actually figured out. What they did was, after checking it out for about an hour, so I didn't feel so bad, like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing, they actually plugged the fiber switch into the switch as we were doing on box 1, 2, and 3. Then they plugged the switch into the wall. They powered it up. When the switch booted up, it seen that there was something plugged into that port, and it brought that port active. Now, there's one other way I can think of that you would know that that port is not active, that you could probably activate that port that we didn't do, and that is to plug a laptop into the console port of that switch, which now we have to do anyway, because we have to give that switch an IP address so we can monitor it, because it's a managed switch, and we'll talk about that one night on this show, the difference between managed and unmanaged. But a managed switch is basically you give it an IP address, and you can log into it from a web browser, and you can see how it's doing. We would have been able to activate that switch at any given time if we would have just simply put a laptop on that console port and logged into that switch and took a look. But we didn't. We were trying to cut corners. We were trying to pull in. The only thing we were testing with is a switch because we don't have fiber optics testers. Do you have that in your office? Probably not. Not many network administrators keep fiber optic testing gear around. That's why you hire fiber optic experts to come in. That's all they do is fiber. They know it. They live it, and that's wonderful for them. So they did get our fiber optics line up. I got a phone call, said, hey, the fiber optics line is working wonderfully. You're ready to go. So now we're ready to go and start cutting some Cat 5 and Cat 6 lines and starting to get them patched into our new switch and getting those particular clients up on our fiber optic line. Anyway, if you should have any stories from the trenches, I would like to hear from them. I would like you to call into that voice number, 724-701-0911, or drop me an email and say, hey, Jack, this is what I've been thinking about. This is what I've been working on. If you have any clients out there you're working with and you say, hey, I just wanted to bring this out there to the group so people can hear about this. As we had that caller or the email I had a few weeks ago about the VPNs, it's nice to get your questions, and it's nice to be able to help everybody out. I kind of pay it forward that way. That's why these shows were actually created, to kind of help you out, as I said, the network administrators out there, or as we often call a lot of folks out there, the accidental techie. That's somebody that went to school to be an accountant, or you went to school to be a drafter or something. You get a job, and you find out that you are running the server, because nobody else knows anything about clicking Windows, and you do, and you get elected to run the server and put people in and make file shares. That's kind of what this podcast was created for, to have, help you out and share a little bit of information there and spread the love of technology and systems administration. We all love it, and we like to spread the word out there to everybody. So I'd like to thank you so much for joining me in this show. I know it was rather short tonight, and I'm sorry about that, but I just wanted to bring you some stories there from the trenches, me and the guys out there with clients that we've been working with. I just thought it'd be a little change of pace instead of just giving you a straight out lesson of the week. But if you want to learn more, you say, boy, you know, I want to learn a little bit more about Windows Server 2008 R2. Maybe you are one of those accidental techies. Or you're thinking about going to Windows Server 2012, and you say, man, I'm going to do Windows Server 2012 and put that into action. Or you said, boy, I like to do some virtualization, but I just don't know where to start. Then you want to start here. You want to check out my Windows Server 2008 R2, Windows Server 2012, or VMware ESXi 5.1 Server. And you can do this by going to tipsfromtheserverroom.com. tipsfromtheserverroom.com. And you can sign up for one of the online classes. Just look at the top of the page, and there's a link that says online classes, and those courses are there for you. These classes are very much self-paced. You watch a video, and you take a short quiz. And they're very low cost, but very high impact. Don't get the cost, you know, confused with the impact of the class. You say, boy, these are too cheap. They must not be any good. I built these cheap because I don't want you to have to spend millions of dollars to learn this stuff, folks. I've had people come back to me and said, Jack, I wish I would have just took your class instead of putting that, you know, 2 years of college or 4 years of college, because you tell it like it is, you teach it straight, and now they can run a Windows Server or a ESXi virtualization server. So I'm pleased that way. I like to get the feedback. I could charge a lot more, but I just chose not to do so. I would rather you be able to take the course. And they are very much self-paced, so remember that. Don't get anything. You have to rush through it. Take your time. Once you're done, you completed the course, I mail your certificate so you have that to hang on your wall, to show an employer maybe. Maybe they're paying for it and you have to complete the class. I've also had people take these things and send them with their resumes. Says, hey, I have a certification. You know, I completed a Windows Server 2008 R2 course. And that's kind of from A to Z. It's from install to administration, so you can't go wrong with that course. Once again, sign up today at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Well, folks, I hope you have a really, really great work week. I hope your network behaves. I hope your computers and your workstations stay alive and you don't have to reinstall those or do anything. That way you can move your network forward. That's important. Always think about the next big thing. I know my brain is always going to think, how can we make it better? Because anybody can maintain. I don't want you to maintain your networks. I want you to think of, what can you do next? Hey, Windows 8.1 has been released, right? You can maybe start loading Windows 8.1, you know, let it go and see what happens there. Give it to some of your users to try out, because it is the next thing. Might not be the next big thing, but it is the next thing that you're going to be doing with. So load that up on at least a virtual machine on your network and play with it a little bit to try to get used to Windows 8.1. Because Windows Server 2012 looks almost the same as Windows 8.1. So there you have it. So have a great work week, and I will talk to you again next Tuesday on another Tips from the Server Room at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. You can also subscribe to this on iTunes. And please rate and comment about this show on iTunes. Go in there and say, hey, it's, you know, pretty decent show. Give me a couple stars in there. You know, we can move it up into ratings and get more people to listen to it. Okay, everybody, take care. And I will see you back here next Tuesday for another Tips from the Server Room at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. This is Jack. Take care and see ya. Just listen to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.